Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and His precious Son, Jesus Christ. And first of all, I just want to give a shout out to my brother Jerry and all of those men and women who have served in the armed forces. And just want to give you a word of encouragement and let you know that just as you gave your life to keep us safe, Jesus gave His life that we might have life. Amen. And be saved as well. Bless the name of Jesus. At this time, open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. That is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul made Timothy familiar with the things he suffered in the gospel. And in the end of the last chapter, Paul told Timothy how certain people treated him while he was in prison. He is now encouraging Timothy to be strong in the words of Christ. We too must be reminded that we will suffer many things in the gospel. And we must be encouraged as well, because there will be those out there that do not agree or believe as we do. They will not treat us as we deserve. Verse 2 said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says, what you have heard, commit to faithful men. And I say at this point, what you have heard and have been taught about Christ, speak to the faithful ones who will teach it to others. Just like we leave mama's recipe and family businesses, we want these things handed down to someone who can carry it out. So let us not hand down the gospel to foolish and unconcerned, but to those we know will keep and teach it. Verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. And every faithful minister is a spiritual soldier. Jesus is the captain and chief commander. In the armed forces or military, a soldier must be armed, trained, and disciplined. As Christians, we need to be armed in the word and trained, but also it is important to be disciplined. Discipline is your behavior and controlling your actions. A soldier out of control will get someone killed. A Christian out of control can cause someone not to see the life they need. A soldier must have approved armor and weapons that are chosen and fitted for his battle. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If we are going to fight the enemy, we must fight with the right weapons. They are not weapons of our choosing, because what we choose is carnal. A soldier should please him that hath chosen him before he goes out to battle. 1 Peter 2 and 9 said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 4 of 2 Timothy says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God does not have double agents. A soldier must not be involved with the cares of this world. He who is entangled with the world is an enemy of God in his kingdom. A soldier must be free from distractions. If you think about it, we battle in war against three things: the devil, the world, and your flesh. And if any And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. 1 Corinthians 9:25 tells us, every man that striveth for the mastery is a temperate, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Let me use this example. A wrestler is tied to a strict prescribed diet, both for quality and quantity, by way of preparation. They do not indulge themselves in gluttony or any sort of excess, but are temperate or have control in all things, that they may, that the crown or trophy might be won. A Christian who engages cannot hope to win unless he complies with the rules required in the kingdom. He must understand all the conditions. Then he must do accordingly and follow that the crown may be won. As Christians, we should understand that God foreknew and the battle has already been fought and the victory is already won. And we have laid up for us a crown. Verse 6 says, for the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, it says, he that plows should plow in hope, and that he that crushes the grain in hope should be partaker of his hope. Back in the Old Testament, a true king went to battle with his soldiers. As ministers of God preaching the gospel, we should live by the same principles we teach. What we look and ask for you to do, we should be partakers of the same. Verse 7 said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound. What Paul is encouraging Timothy to do is not only preach the divine nature of Christ, but also the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There were those then that questioned and denied his existence. The same applies today. It is important to preach the existence and resurrection of Christ because there are those who don't believe, and others who have strayed from the true purpose of the gospel. It is time to preach Jesus regardless of the position and condition of this world. We must pull the lost sheep from the fire. Verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was willing to suffer if he might save others. Yes. How many are willing to suffer in the gospel for someone else? How many of us would suffer anything for anyone else? It says, for the elect's sake. We honestly have suffered many things for our children and family. Some of us have taken the heat for friends. But when it comes to Jesus and the gospel, what are you willing to suffer? Verse 11 said, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Romans 6 and 4 through 7 told us, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So back to 2 Timothy verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Listen to what 1 Peter 4, 13 through 17 told us, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Again, back in 2 Timothy, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithfully, he cannot deny himself. In the book of Numbers, it tells us God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. They said, and shall not do it, or has he spoken and shall not make it good? Romans said, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make their faith of God without effect? And then Jesus said this in John 5:33 through 39. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abided in you. For whom he has sent him, you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Now, in verse 14 of 2 Timothy. Of these things, put in them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Paul advised Timothy and all the ministers of the church, and to all the Christian churches far and near, not to spend their time arguing with words which will not make men either wiser or better. Today, religion and men are full of words that don't make you saved or strong. Rather than making sense, it begins to become nonsense. In order to make sure we are making sense and not speaking nonsense, it is we must do what it says in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you study to show yourself approved unto God. With God's approval, with his authorization, they will be in line with what God once said. But this is what we also must do. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. These vain babblings, coming from philosophers and seducing teachers. I would even go as far as to say to be careful of motivated speakers who motivate you with words without life, teaching things that have nothing to do with Jesus or the gospel. Those who try to make Jesus support the words they use rather than support what Jesus is saying. Listen to what the next verse says. And their word will eat as doth a canker. One writer says it is as gangrene of the mouth and lips. Gangrene is defined as death and decay caused by insufficient blood. If you are not cleansed by the blood, if you are not being fed life by the word, there is death because there is no life coming to you from the blood of Jesus or his word that has sacrificed, that was sacrificed and given for you. It says of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, Paul pointed out these two men in particular. Paul said in 1 Timothy, I deliver Hymenaeus and Alexander to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. This is what Paul said about them in verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. Don't let no one tell you the resurrection has passed, or that there is no resurrection, or that Jesus was just another man, or he is not the Son of God or Son of Man. Let no man deceive you or cause you to err from the truth. Nevertheless, in verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, or the foundation of God is impossible to doubt or dispute. It is certain, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We know the foundation of God stands firm and sure. Or can I say, we know the covenant of God made with us in Christ Jesus is solid. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 20 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. It is not uncommon in great man's houses to have things of all sorts. Some wood, as it said, in earth, others of gold and silver. Some are in honorable use and others are less honorable. So in churches, there can be a number of what we call orthodox and heterodox Christians and hypocrites. An orthodox is one who is sticking fast to an acceptance or established doctrine. A heterodox is one who is not in agreement with accepted beliefs. And we know what a hypocrite is. These are the type of people we can expect to see and deal with in the church. But if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge yourself from the things that are not of Christ, from the things that are against the doctrine of Christ, from the vain babbling, from the dishonorable things of the world that the world teaches. He that takes heed to his way and to God's teachings and walks with God will separate himself from the false doctrine and from the wicked men. If any man shall keep himself pure and clean from these, will not only have studied to show himself approved, but he will become a vessel of honor, sanctified and set apart by God. Mm-hmm. Verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Youthful lust, as we understand it, is not only the lust of the flesh, but also the lust and vices of the mind. The craving of the mind can get you in trouble. The craving of the mind can be activated from the lust of the eye. These cravings can cause such things as ambition, pride, and vainglory. The flesh, with its affections and lusts, are dangerous enemies to our holiness and salvation. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife.
Again, Timothy is admonished by Paul to avoid the foolish and unlearned questions. People can ask controversial questions which cannot be answered. Questions which cannot be settled and are of no importance. Foolish and ignorant questions will produce after their kind. They will stunt the spiritual life and cause gangrene in the inner man. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Whether a bishop, a pastor, or teacher of the church, you are not to irritate or provoke with your tongue, but by soft and gentle words. As God's example, if we dictate and speak with force, they will hold their opinion and err the more. But if we have patience and charity as to unrip the errors by love and truth, they can see by the word and turn from what is shown not to be true. It says in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Notice it says in meekness. Again, meekness means to be kind, patient, gentle, not inclined to anger or resentment, enduring injury with patience and without resentment or complaint. So when we instruct those that oppose themselves, which means speak to those which are in resistance, we are supposed to talk to them being kind, patient with them, gentle and mild, not inclined to anger or resentment when they say something that upsets you. Endure injury with patience and without resentment or complaint. You endure the injury. You don't give the injury. First Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Even though it seems like some men have all the questions, remember, no man has all the answers and is not responsible for them. Verse 26 says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The snare of the devil, in this case, is the snare operated through the distorting of doctrine in the minds of men, leading them through a path of reasoning, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Being in the snare, their only hope is that in the divine care and foresight of God, they may recover themselves. One writer explains it like this, and with this we will close. And being caught alive by the servant of the Lord out of the toils of the devil, in which they were sleeping through the intoxication of sin, they may awake from that intoxication to do the will of God by believing and obeying the gospel. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.